Hello.
Oh, Emmy.
I'm ill, you guys, so I sound like a frog, so I'm gonna be, not my boisterous self today.
No, unfortunately, she is not herself. We can't get her Woody isms.
I'll do my best. They'll just be quieter.
Okay, so how have you been besides being sick?
I'm good. I'm just like crossing my fingers that I don't have COVID, but like I can smell and taste fine, so I feel like I'm probably
Hopefully.
okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't fucking know. Who knows? But I've definitely got some kind of throat thing. But other than that, I'm feeling okay. I've got like a really
Maybe
swollen
you have strep throat.
like dude, maybe. I just don't even know like how. I haven't been around anybody who I could imagine would have strep throat. That being said, I do like get strep throat like eight fucking times
Eight.
a year, so
Who
who
knows?
knows? Not literally eight, but I do get it almost every year.
Ugh. Did you get your flu shot this year, though?
I
Oh, Emmy,
haven't
come
yet,
on.
no. How are you? What have you been up to?
Just wrapping presents. I haven't been doing much. We're starting to quarantine now because Christmas time is coming. So
Yeah,
we're gonna
Christmas.
be on full quarantine this week and next week and the middle of next until next Christmas. I mean, until the following Christmas.
It's t until next
Forever.
Christmas 2021. No, I understand. I don't know if I get sick, if I have COVID. I don't know what I'm gonna do about Christmas, but if it's just like if I'm just like have a bad cold or whatever, then I will just also do the exact same thing, quarantine for like quite a while before going over to
Yeah.
my parents' house. Because I do want to see them. I haven't seen them in
I
so long.
miss like Alex's parents we haven't seen in a long time and like my grandparents and miss all the fam, but hopefully a vaccine will come out soon and it'll all be over with.
I sure friggin' hope so.
I'm ready for it.
Me too. I'm sick of this shit. And I just like want to, I mean, I'm tired. I'm sick of being scared of being sick.
Or being sick. I'm sick of being scared of being sick and spreading it to someone. Like, that's my biggest fear is like, oh, I'm sick and I accidentally spread it to someone.
Give it to
Yeah.
somebody. I
Yeah.
know. But other than that, I've been like starting to make all of my Christmas presents. So I'm making
Oh,
them. So I'm making you
sweet.
one this year.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's fun.
They're gonna be very cute.
You.
Yours is gonna be very
Oh, thank
teachery.
you. You always come up with the crafty little stuff like that. Oh,
Oh,
you're
thanks.
welcome. Well, this week we are starting our Christmas themed, two Christmas themed. We decided to start with these two, just because Christmas is coming up anyway. So these are the Christmas themed murders this week.
Christmas
Yeah.
murders.
Oh, this one is a really sad one.
Oh God,
They
they always
always
are.
are. I know. I
All right,
feel
tell
like
me
we
about
every
it.
time we start this, we're like, this one's really sad.
I know.
Oh, but we do want to say thank you to those who popped on to our
Oh
wine.
yeah.
That
That
was
was really
fun.
fun. We had just a little like we didn't even say anything on the show about it, I don't think. Did we? I don't remember. It was, yeah, last Friday. We had a little like wine night get together on Instagram Live, and it was really fun. And we talked about different crimes and news updates from around Seattle, and
Yeah,
it was
and I
really
just did
great.
my grocery shopping and
Freaking
oh
door.
my God.
Jordan, I called Jordan like 15 minutes beforehand, and I was like, okay, like let's get ready, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what do you mean? Like I'm grocery shopping. And I was like, yeah.
Oh no,
The
I
fuck,
said
Jordan?
I
You
knew it
knew it
was
was
happening.
happening,
I'm
which is
just like,
even
I'm just gonna
worse.
grocery shop. What's wrong with that? I needed to get shit done. I'm a busy woman
Right.
sometimes.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, well, shall we get into it?
Let's
Let's do
friggin' do
it.
it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the story I'm going to tell you today is about 24-year-old Caitlin Armand. Caitlin was from Kelso, Washington, and she graduated high school in 2011. So this is a recent story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was like the year before. That's the year before I graduated.
This is the year I graduated. So she's my age. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
In 2015, she gave birth to her daughter, Bryn, who she loved wholeheartedly. Caitlin was described by those who loved her dearly as a shining light who took joy in making others laugh with her quick wit. Caitlin Armand saw the best in people and in every situation. Her best friend from high school, Kelsey, described Caitlin as the determined goofball who thrived on being a mother, went out of her way to cheer people up, and she was prone to putting on a pair of sunglasses and quoting songs by Tupac. So she seems like a diamond. She sounds wonderful.
She sounds lovely. She sounds like someone I'd like to be friends with.
Her friend Kelsey said she would blare these songs and rap until you just had to join in. That's like, that's my kind of person. So Caitlin and Kelsey celebrated birthdays and college acceptances together. Kelsey supported Caitlin and talked to her often on Skype when Caitlin moved to New York after high school to pursue her dream in career in fashion design. After Kelsey dropped out of Oregon State University, she said it was Caitlin who motivated her to go back to school. Caitlin then moved back to Oregon in the summer of 2012 and enrolled in the Portland Art Institute to continue to pursue her fashion career.
Aww.
Yeah. And I looked her up. You can still look at her social media. She just looks like the cutest, sweetest thing ever. And she just – a darling.
So how long ago did all of this – I mean, well, I guess you're going to get into that. So I'm just curious, like, the murder itself, but I'm sure I'm getting way ahead of myself.
I'm going to get into it. Okay. So that's kind of just her backstory, though. And then she began working for Sprint, and she met James Tilka, who worked there as well. James and Caitlin married in December of 2014, not long after meeting each other. James was 30 and had an 8-year-old boy from previous marriage. Caitlin loved that boy with all of her heart, and she was reported to be a wonderful stepmom, even from the kiddo's mom herself, Sabrina Starks.
Aww.
Yeah, but Caitlin wanted a baby of her own so badly. So soon after getting married, Caitlin and James began trying for a baby. Caitlin got pregnant in January 2015, but unfortunately she had a miscarriage.
She already had the first kid, right? Bryn, too?
No. So we just prefaced Bryn because Bryn will be a big part of the story.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but so in January 2015, she had the miscarriage, and she had, and that baby's name was Harlow Wren Tilka. So Caitlin had a blog where she wrote about her thoughts and feelings about what was currently going on in her life, and her blog was kind of like a way for her to escape or to cope with what she was feeling on any day. When she blogged about her miscarriage, she had an outpour of support from friends and family and even from random strangers. She would go to coffee shops and write and make friends with just like the person sitting next to her, and they would just hold hands with each other and cry.
Oh, God.
Just random strangers. And her blog is still up, and so this is what she wrote for that day. I feel defeated. I have lost everyone I've loved by the age of 22. A mother with cancer, a father to drugs. I lived with an aunt who then died from her secret alcohol addiction. My papa had a stroke, and I'll never forget sitting in the meeting room looking at the picture of my Uncle Alan's blacked out brain scan waiting for the family deliberation. I've battled PTSD, severe anxiety, and depression since the age of 9. My worst fear in life is dying. I've seen too much. I've felt too much. I've suffered enough.
Aww.
Right when I thought I had my coping mechanisms and life under control, I got slapped in the face by life again. Not everyone knows or understands the depth of what it's like to have PTSD, severe anxiety. Out of respect, though, it's nothing to take lightly for those who suffer every day. I was constantly living in fear that I was going to die. Death is my trigger. Everyone is different. And the second my mind went to that dark place, I spiraled out of control and would have a mental breakdown, sometimes sending myself into the ER. So I started drinking. I would drink for anything and everything. My friends and I couldn't do anything sober. Bowling, movies, breakfast, lunch, dinner, after dinner, putt-putt golfing, sitting outside, standing in the house, always drinking. Sure, drinking's fun in the moment, but I was drinking to function. I drank myself into inebriation as many nights as I could without making my problem obvious, just so I can go to sleep without having an anxiety attack. I masked my problem with alcohol and used my age as an excuse. She continued to write about the day she found out she was pregnant. That was the day she turned her life around. My life was about to begin. I was a mom from that day on. She was the first thing I thought about and the last thing on my mind each and every day. She was my favorite thing to talk about, to think about, to read about, to research for. I'd finally figured out why I'd gone through so much pain as I did as a child. It's so I could finally give so much love to someone I'm bringing life to. I have defeated death. I was given the miracle to procreate. I'm having a baby. It's not about me anymore, and it felt so good. Being pregnant, I found myself. I knew what I was supposed to be in this world. She's the only thing in my life that's made sense. Being pregnant with Harlow helped her become herself again. She wrote about how she was able to get back on her paintings. She began setting aside money to start her dream jewelry line, and she started her blog. And then she started volunteering for a nonprofit organization to help rescue and promote boxers in the Northwest. Aww. Like boxers, the puppy, not
the sports person, the dog. Yeah. Oh, I love boxers.
Yeah. She wrote, I was giving my life to a human being who was also bringing life to me, showing me a purpose, and I wanted to bring her into this world with so much to show for. My baby can do anything at any given time, and that life is never over. Then, on the morning of January 30th, 2015, she had a doctor's appointment. And the doctor tells her that she can't hear the heartbeat. Caitlin had had a miscarriage.
Oh, my God.
Caitlin describes calling Jake into the room with her. I call James. He doesn't answer. I call again and he picks up. And I just scream that I need him here. I just needed him here. The room is spinning and it's all I could say over and over again. I need you here. I need you here. I need you here. It felt like an eternity before he opened the door to my room. Then I fell in his arms and I just yelled, I want my baby. It's not breathing. I won't want my baby back.
Oh.
He just cries and time just stands still. She then proceeded to get an epidural. That day, she delivered her baby 17 weeks early. She writes, there were no cries from a baby to be heard, no congratulations, no oohs or ahs. I just look over at James and blot his head with my cold rag and ask if he's okay and tell him I love him. I've never felt so heartbroken. And seeing him so distraught hurt my heart even more. They went home after that to from their appointment to get ready from their friend's house to go to the Super Bowl. She gets into the apartment and she writes about falling to the ground, devastated. She says, I just lost it as hard as I could when I delivered her little body. James ran in and picked up my completely limp body off the ground and sat me on the bed and held me. I yelled that I want my baby back. He kept telling me just to breathe, kissing my forehead. He kept on saying, one step at a time, babe. Let's get you in the shower. We can leave. I cried even more. I told him I didn't want to go in there. That's where we had bonded, and he just knew that and squeezed me tighter. We would have bath time. I would read about her. I would talk to her and rub her and tickle her and tell her how proud I was of her. I can't fucking go in there. We showered together, and he held me. He told me how beautiful and strong I was. And then, 6 months later, on June 1st, 2015, Caitlin announced that she was...
Did she get pregnant again?
She got pregnant again with Bryn.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. That's good.
Yeah. This time she writes about how she thought she lost the baby, but when she heard the heartbeat, she was thrilled and couldn't wait to tell James. She was excited to be parents with him and so badly she was just so happy to have his baby. Caitlin's friend, Kelsey, said one of her favorite memories was of Caitlin was seeing her face light up when Bryn was born later in 2015. Aww. But within 6 months of June 1st, of writing that post, Caitlin and James would be separated and she would give birth to baby Bryn.
Oh my God.
For the last year and a half of their marriage, James and Caitlin would be separated. After the two decided to separate, James moved in with his mom and his stepdad in King City, Oregon. Caitlin eventually decided to rent a home in Beaverton, Oregon, about 20 minutes east of Portland, from a family friend named Natalie Walsh.
Oh, is she all alone now?
She was actually living with another person at the time.
Okay, good.
Yes. So Caitlin rented a place from Natalie Walsh, who was Caitlin was also really close with. She was a family friend, and Caitlin was friends with all of Natalie's daughters who were her age also. Mm-hmm. And like I said in the beginning, Caitlin Armand saw the best in people and every situation, and it was evident in her blog posts. She talked about giving people second chances and or just the benefit of the doubt. Caitlin had confided in Natalie and told her that James struggled with depression and substance abuse. Caitlin had encouraged James to get help, but he unfortunately did not seek help. Although they had a very tumultuous relationship, she even saw the best in James. And here's a quote from Natalie. She would say, "He's going to get better and he's a good father," Natalie said. She often spoke highly of him as a father to us. At one time in Caitlin's life, James and Caitlin were seemingly a great duo, just like we heard in her blog post. It just seemed like they were perfect for each other.
Is he gonna do this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I hate it.
Yep. So they were seemingly just a great duo from the outside, right? They'd be at barbecues and other gatherings, but eventually, Natalie said he detached himself from this part of the world. Natalie said that she knew there were difficulties, as in every marriage. Other people in Caitlin's life didn't really realize that it would end the way it did. Nobody could predict what could happen.
Jesus Christ.
In the weeks leading up to her death in 2016, James sent Caitlin hundreds of text messages and phone calls, either begging her to take him back, or then threatening to kill her and harm her new boyfriend.
Oh my God. So was this all triggered by her finding somebody new?
That's what I were it's assumed.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Caitlin reported this to police, but it wasn't looked into.
Ugh.
On December 24th, 2016, at approximately 1:30 p.m., James bought a 9mm Springfield handgun from a private seller in Portland. He also bought earplugs and 9mm ammunition from a local sporting goods store. A receipt from these items were located in James's bedroom, and surveillance videos confirms that James had made that purchase. On December 25th, 2016, James changed his Facebook profile to the image of their wedding day.
Oh my God.
On Christmas Day, Caitlin called her best friend Kelsey. They talked about how sweet and wonderful Bryn was and how much Caitlin loved being a mother. And then they'd made plans to meet on Tuesday to in Caitlin's hometown of Kelso, Washington, to exchange Christmas gifts. After her miscarriage, Caitlin decided to study nursing, so she began working at a senior center as a med tech in 2016. So that night, Caitlin was scheduled to work at the senior home.
A shift. Okay. Yeah.
Although, sadly, she would not show up to work that night or to exchange gifts with her best friend that following Tuesday.
Was James still in the same city as her? No, he moved, right?
They were about 20. Yeah, so they were about 20 minutes from each other. And they...
Oh, that's not that long.
It's not that long. And she, like, let him be in the kid's
in
life.
The
be in the picture. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Even after he started threatening to kill her?
Yeah. It seems like it. God.
I mean, no blame to her. It's her kid's dad. But, like, Damn, that just really sucks.
At approximately 10:10 p.m., Caitlin dropped off Bryn at the home where James lived with his mother and stepfather. James unbuckled Bryn from her seatbelt and carried her to the home's entryway. He then walked back to the car and shot Caitlin 8 times with the newly purchased 9mm handgun, 6 times in the chest, and twice in the head.
Okay, I have to ask... I don't know much about guns, but don't they have 6 bullets? Did he have to shoot 6 and then reload and shoot 2 more? Because that is terrifying.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know very much about handguns.
Oh my God.
Caitlin was found unarmed in the driver's seat, attempting to open the door to flee. Yeah. Can just, I don't even want to imagine the panic that was going through, like, the fear.
Especially because she, like, loved, I mean, even if she wasn't, like, in love with him anymore, it was still, like, the father of her child. Exactly. And she had, like, really loved him at one point, and it seemed like he had, oh, God, that's so sad.
And then just knowing, like in her blog post, she wrote about, like, fear is her, death is her worst.
Fear of dying. Fear. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Looking into her husband's eye, like, her ex or husband's eyes, and just thinking, he's the one that's killing me.
Oh, it's so scary.
James's mother heard gunfire and came running outside to see what was happening. She saw James.
He did it right in front of his friggin' parents. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So he didn't, this was not like, he didn't have any intention of getting away with this?
No, not at all.
Okay, well.
Yeah, no, this story gets even more shocking.
Okay. Oh my God.
James's mother heard gunfire and came running outside to see what was happening. She saw James in his car with the engine running and tapped on the window, but James sped off without responding. His mom received a call from James moments later. He asked if Caitlin was dead and then said, quote, I shot her, mom. I shot her. She screwed up my life. My whole life's been screwed up, and I shot her, and I'm going to kill myself, end quote.
Oh, boo-hoo, you big stupid baby.
Yeah, seriously.
What a fucking victim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Police were called 20 minutes later, and Washington County Consolidated Communications Agency issued a countywide call for the law enforcement to find the white Mitsubishi driven by James. This was all the information police officers were given at the time. No information on the fact that he was suicidal and just murdered his wife.
Jesus Christ. They didn't. Oh, my God.
So at 10:20 p.m., James called one of Caitlin's friends and said that he shot her. At 10:48 p.m., James sent a message to Caitlin's sister, Megan, stating, I killed your sister. So.
What a fucking psychopath. Jesus Christ.
As he's driving erratically through the Oregon, Portland area, 32-year-old Oregon State Trooper named Jick Cederberg located the car James was driving and began chasing after James for several miles down a dark, narrow, and isolated rural road. And let me remind you, Nick didn't know that he was suicidal and had just murdered his wife. So he had no clue.
Sure, so he probably didn't know how much danger he was probably in, since this guy was a completely, like, loose cannon.
Exactly.
At
the dead end, James whipped his car around and full sped rammed it into the trooper's car. James then gets out of the car and shoots Nick 12 times, walks up to Nick, steals his gun, and proceeds to shoot him once again. James then goes to hide 10 yards into the woods to wait for the other officers to arrive on the scene as Nick is down.
And is his plan, like, death by, like, cop suicide? Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, as officers approach Nick's vehicle, they hear a pop flash, and they see that James was armed with a pistol and pointing it at them. James then continues to shoot at the officers for some time, and then finally shoots himself in the head. The DA releases video, and let me tell you, I watched the whole thing. It is disturbing.
Oh, my God.
You can...
Will you send it to me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can find it. Yeah, it's...
Oh, am I going to see something that's going to, like, mess me up?
It's just really disturbing to see him in the window and in the woods and just shooting at the police officers, and then you see him do his thing.
Kill himself. Oh, yeah. God. Okay. Oof. Maybe I won't watch it. I don't know.
Yeah. After noticing James was pointing the gun at them, officers fired a total of 40 shots at Tilka. An autopsy revealed that James was shot 21 times, including one self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. The autopsy also showed that James had a blood alcohol level that was 11% at the time, 0.11% at the time of the death.
Oh, wow, 0.11.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So Nick is the cop, right? So the cop was not actually dead by the time the other troopers got there?
No, yeah, surprising. And fortunately, Nick was rushed to the hospital and he survived. He did sustain severe and like permanently disabling physical injuries, as well as like emotional pain, fear, anxiety, and like distress. Well,
PTSD, I'm sure, yeah.
But he did ultimately survive. Police would later find in Caitlin's car a restraining order petition prepared by Caitlin. Requesting a restraining order against James. So I'm wondering if she had tried to give it to him and that also started something.
Yeah, that probably was, yeah.
And then she also found two cards from James to Caitlin. One was an anniversary card with a handwritten note that read, quote, "I am sorry for what I'm about to do," end quote.
Oh my God.
So that is premeditated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and he'd been calling her and saying he was going to kill her for like quite a while, it sounds like.
And she also reported that to police, but they did nothing.
Ugh.
So, like, the question on everyone's mind is kind of like, what happened? Why did James go through such drastic measures? So that brings me back to his ex-wife, Sabrina Stark. They were together from 2008 to 2011, and they were married and then loved, she reports. But then she says she noticed some things that started to change in James. This is a quote from her. He had his moments that included frustrated outbursts, yelling from time to time, but he was a good guy. He loved his kids. So when they separated, Sabrina said they weren't unified like they had once been, and she had filed for sole custody of their son. And during that time in the court documents, Sabrina wrote, quote, "He is irrational, impulsive, aggressive, and constantly threatening me."
Oh, God.
That's just, and this is another quote from her, "and that's just because he kept spiraling and spiraling and wasn't getting help. I feel like I didn't know what to do," Sabrina said. James was also described as a man's man who wanted to be in control and may not have been comfortable with admitting that he needed help for depression. And it also wouldn't be his character to reach out for him because that meant weakness to him.
Yeah.
So obviously James is not emotionally stable, and he was depressed and felt like if he couldn't have Caitlin, nobody else could. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure when she started seeing that new guy, it just exasperated his emotions.
And I mean, if she'd been telling him, you know, like, if you continue this, I'm going to get a restraining order. I'm sure that like triggered him.
Yeah.
Just like a study in like why toxic masculinity is so bad.
Yeah.
You have to go get help when you're fucked up. It's not just going to go
away. Yep. And like his anger issues were obviously a pattern here too. Like Sabrina, like his ex-wife, reported multiple irrational meltdowns. Caitlin also confided in her friend, the lady she was renting the house from, saying he had substance abuse order. So I think he was just alcoholism and probably other party drugs going on. And I think he just decided to cope with his depression through alcohol and other substances. And just Caitlin needed more than that. She wanted a functioning and healthy lifestyle, and she didn't want that party scene anymore. They did at that one time.
Yeah.
I stalked his Facebook profile, and he loved the EDM scene, and he liked going to raves, and I think that just like became way too much for her, and she just wanted to move on. And sad, because it sure does sound like they loved each other, and like, which is evident in their blog post. But then again, like, you never, like,
you don't know what's going on.
Exactly. You want to make yourself look the perfect.
Exactly. What's put out on like social media is very often not a reflection of what's actually happening in your life.
Exactly.
And I wondered now, what about those kids? Because I mean, who's taking care of Bryn now?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I wasn't able to find like solid evidence. Definite. But I'm pretty sure Caitlin's sister Megan has full custody of Bryn.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Sabrina Stark, his ex-wife, has full custody of his son.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So Nick Cederberg actually ended up suing Washington County's 911 system and the sheriff and others.
How come they didn't tell him that?
Saying you failed to alert me that, or other officers, that James Tilka was armed.
That I was in serious danger.
Suicidal. And he had just shot his wife when they radioed for police to find him on the Christmas. So the federal lawsuit states that Nick was the only trooper patrolling in Washington County who lacked that critical information when he made those tactical decisions to chase James that he wouldn't otherwise have made if he knew what was actually going on.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he faced life-threatening and permanently disabling injuries. Nick also argued that Washington County's sheriff's deputy should have arrested James a month earlier when Caitlin reported having received those harassing phone calls and texts from James mm-hmm. threatening to kill her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The negligence suit also names Legacy Meridian Hospital as a defendant, alleging an emergency room doctor failed to hold James there for a mental health treatment when he attempted suicide previously by overdosing insulin just a month before on November 30th, 2016.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that is the story of Caitlin Armand. Sweet, sweet, sweet girl. I know.
That is just fucking tragic. Sweet girl. Oh, gosh. Oh, jeez.
Her four poor babies has had to
grow up with no parents because their dad.
I don't know if the baby had to see it or hear it, or but just she had to grow up with
it. I hope it's young enough to not actually
to know what was going on at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's so sad. Holy shit.
Yeah. So each year, a significant number of Washington County's homicides are domestic violence related. And if you have any concerns for your own safety in a domestic relationship, help is available through the domestic violence hotline at 800-799-7233. Again, it's 800-799-7233.
I think right now with people being, in quarantine again, we're back to like phase one, essentially, people are getting locked up with abusers. And
yeah,
I can imagine that during the holiday times, there's added stress. And I hope people are getting the help that they need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How sad. That's tragic. That poor little kid. I mean, her poor Caitlin and her whole family. But, you know, that dad made the decision for his kid to grow up with no parents.
No parents at all. Yeah. I know. Now I'm all bummed out.
Dude, not every now and then. I'm always bummed out at the end. But sometimes we hear ones where for whatever reason, I don't know if it's like the mood that I'm in that day. I'm just like, God, the world is a vampire. Da-na-na-na. So sad. Ugh, Christ.
Okay, well.
Well, I love you, Jordan.
I love you, too. I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
It's okay. I'll be better soon. And we love you guys. And if you love us and you want to hear more of us, you can follow us on Instagram at
Death and the NW Podcast.
You can follow our group on Facebook at
Death and the NW Podcast.
You can send us an email at
deathandthenwpodcast@gmail.com.
You can go to our website at
deathandthenorthwestpodcast.com.
Awesome. And then just follow us on everywhere where you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, give us Stitcher, some good reviews Google. On Apple Podcasts.
Please subscribe
to us. Next week, Emmy will be telling her Christmas story.
Yes, another harrowing Christmas tale.
And then following these 2 weeks, we will be working on
college murders.
Yes, and I'm really excited to get nitty-gritty into those.
Me too, and I'm excited that you have such a connection to one of them. It's cool.
Yeah, I do. Well, not a big way.
Not like, no, I know you were like there for it, but
mine was that 1971, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just lived in the dorm 20 years, 40 years. How many years later?
Later. 40.
40 years later. Right? Yeah. 1971. I went to college 2011.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Well, my dear, I will talk to you soon. Yeah. We love you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate you and your following and your support. And we like doing this for you. So if you want to hear more, go to our website and go ahead and suggest a case to us. And we would look at some of those. So,
or if you have like a listener tale you want to give us, send it to our Gmail because we'll tell them.
Yeah, we'll tell them for sure. Okay. Adios. Au revoir. Farewell.
Bye. Au revoir.